In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Immaculate Mary, Mother of the Church, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the memory of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the temple. I'd like to read a little introduction from a very good book, particularly for religious, Our Lady, Queen of the Religious Life by Lewis Collin, Redemptorist. At the very instant of her creation and her supernatural generation, the first conscious and free act of Mary was to give herself, to surrender herself to the Almighty. Enlightened by divine light, she understood what God was to her and what she herself was to him. And in a spontaneous act of justice, adoration, gratitude, and love, taking herself, as it were, in her virginal hands, she offered herself wholly and forever to the divine majesty. And that was the first time that a little white host, in anticipation of the large host, was lifted between heaven and earth to the glory of the Trinity. The doctrine or the teaching, the celebration of this memory, this event in the life of Our Lady, Mother of the Church, may come as a surprise to some in that it's not recorded in the sacred scripture, that those works that the church discerned are of our sacred and infallible Word of God. However, that by no means is reason to doubt the truthfulness of this teaching. The tradition of the church is not equal legend or fable, and there are many truths which are not written down verbatim in the Holy Bible, however, come to us through many other sources that are credible. And in fact, the teaching on this is affirmed by many fathers and apocryphal writings, and also is reasonable. What we heard in this citation initially is theological. Mary, who is conceived immaculately, according to the doctors of the church, had the use of reason from the very first instant, and she has human nature as God intended before the fall. Our intellect is impeded due to the consequence of original sin and the disorder that was introduced into nature by man's disobedience to God. Mary didn't suffer from this obscurity. She had clarity of intellect and also, as we know, was born full of grace. And so from the very first instant, the first act, conscious act of her will, was to dedicate herself entirely to God. Saint Alphonsus, in the Glories of Mary, which is an excellent source for Marian doctrine, in which he cites also more extensively than I am now, the various origins and reasons according to the doctors, the fathers of the church, tradition, etc., as well as testimony of saints, why the church believes what it does regarding Mary. In fact, I have his book right here, and he includes a testimony from St. Bridget, who is one of the church's great mystics, I believe from the 11th or 12th century. And St. Bridget testifies to have received a revelation from an angel. And the angel says, "No tongue will ever express how clearly this blessed virgin understood God's greatness in that very first moment of her existence." And then St. Alphonsus goes on, "Thus enlightened, she instantly offered her entire self to the Lord, dedicating herself without reserve to his love and glory. Immediately, the angel went on to say, our queen determined to sacrifice her will to God and to give him all her love for the whole of her life. No one can understand how entire was the subjection in which she then placed her will and how fully she was determined to do all according to his pleasure." Mary, then, child of Saint Anne and Saint Joachim, from the womb already has decided to dedicate herself. And this too is in harmony with the desires of her parents, who in their old age prayed to God to conceive a child and vowed, if this were granted, to consecrate the child to God. And so at 3 years of age, Mary went to the temple and entered into the temple, into the service of the temple, and to be educated, which is also historically accurate, or at least there's evidence to support this practice. It was a custom at that time, and is even recorded in Maccabees, that there were virgins living in the church, in the temple, that is. And this is also testified by a secular historian of the time, Josephus, who is considered to be an important source of history from that early Christian time. Today, the church then remembers this act of Our Lady, in which she consecrated herself totally to the will of God, an act so pleasing to our Lord that she is to be the mother of God. And when the angel comes and declares to her that she is to be the mother of God, she responds once again with that total docility to the will of God, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." Mary is the model of the church, and she is the model for all religious. Today, the church also remembers in a special way religious. But before regarding on that special vocation, that divine vocation to religious life, let's just consider the gospel today. Our Lord is speaking to all of us. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." All of us are called to be, in this sense, mothers of Christ. Saint Augustine, in a sermon, says this very well. It's the second reading today from the Office of Readings. And he says, "Of whom were you born? Of Mother Church, I hear the reply of your hearts. You became sons of this mother at your baptism. You came to birth then as members of Christ. Now you, in your turn, must draw to the font of baptism as many as you possibly can. You became sons when you were born there yourselves, and now, by bringing others to birth in the same way, you have it in your power to become the mothers of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters, this is our challenge. I would encourage everyone to reflect, how many people in my life have I brought to the baptismal font to be born, to be generated, regenerated in Christ? Have I practiced this spiritual motherhood, let us say, in my life? I fear that many Catholics would not be able to name many souls that they've brought to the baptismal font, and the Church repeatedly and constantly calls us to the new evangelization. So let us take heart. Our Lord calls us his brothers and sisters and mothers. Let us also pray for vocations, that many will respond with the same generosity and promptness to that love of God, that response of justice and adoration that Our Lady gave from the very first instant of her life, and determined to give ourselves more fully and, if possible, completely. That's really the first commandment: love God with all your mind and heart and soul and strength. And so all of us are called to this, the religious in a particular way. This day also, the Church prays, we celebrate the Pro Orantibus, for those praying, which is dedicated in a particular way to cloistered religious communities. The Holy Father, a few days ago, said the following: "It is a good opportunity to thank the Lord for the gift of so many people who, in monasteries and hermitages, dedicate themselves to God in prayer and silent work, recognizing the primacy that only He deserves. We thank the Lord for the testimony of cloistered life. May they never lack our spiritual and material support to carry out this important mission." And I know of at least one relative of a family here present, someone who worshipped in this very church many times and has now dedicated herself to cloistered life, Sister Teresa Margaret of the Sacred Heart, who lives at the Carmel Monastery in Valparaiso, which means the Valley of Paradise, and is to be found in Nebraska, which Father Elias will tell us is the closest place to heaven on earth. We thank God for Sister Teresa Margaret's gift and for the gift of all religious and consecrated who give themselves to God. And we remember that every baptized person can consecrate him or herself to God totally. This is the teaching of many of the saints, in particular Saint Louis Marie Grignon de Montfort, who has taught and promoted the total consecration and written this great classic of Christian spirituality, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is for anyone who wants to be totally consecrated to God, religious or laity, a great book that teaches us what it means to be totally consecrated to Jesus through Mary. We pray to our Blessed Lady, who gave herself so promptly, so generously to our Lord, so much so to merit becoming the Mother of God. We ask for the same promptness and generosity in our response to God, that we too may work to generate souls for the glory of God. Praise be Jesus and Mary.